take a bit of a focus for the summer for Novena Business Finance. We're going to be hearing the story of small businesses who work outdoors, who are close to nature, and who probably have got really nice suntans because they're working in the sun. I'm joined now by Derek Bennett, who runs a really successful Southeast landscaping business called DC Gardens. Derek, you do have a very good suntan.
Hello, thank you very much. Yeah, I do try, you know, the benefits of working outside, although it's not so nice in the winter, but the summertime you do get a very, very nice tan, so it's great.
So, yeah, well, talk about that. I mean, you must be a seasonal business, I guess, in some ways.
Yes and no. You get a lot more people tend to sort of contact you. The closer you get to the summertime, especially with the landscaping side of things, people will contact you because the weather changes and people go, oh, we want to go outside in the garden. Yeah. We need a new patio or something like that. So, yeah, the closer you get to the summertime, the more contact you seem to get from potential clients and customers. But again, one of the benefits is we do decking and we do fencing and we do other, you know, exterior works. So
digging and all that sort of stuff.
Yes, the flower beds.
Hence the word landscaping.
And we do drainage and things like that if people have got issues in the garden with flooding and what have you. So a lot of the work, you know, we can still do in the winter. Yeah. But it can be seasonal. But, you know, I've been running the business now for 10 years and you learn how to kind of overcome those, and you can look at jobs and sort of speak to people and work things out that people may be able to wait till the winter, things like that. And yeah, you have to box clever a little bit sometimes. Yeah.
So I guess in terms of growing and forecasting, you've been going for 10 years, run a successful business. You probably do have to plan the seasons, don't you? You have to think, we need to do this in the summer, but we need to leave some work for the winter.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we will, if somebody contacts me, it's really tricky. So if somebody contacts me in June or July and they say, you know, we need it done by the end of the summer, I try and work as much as I can with clients, but if somebody's got the work and they're prepared to wait and they're happy to wait, then yeah, it is kind of looking at things and as well seeing how desperate the work is. If somebody's just sort of an initial consultation with them to sort of discuss the work and see what it is, if I think it can wait and it's not too severe or too major to sort of deal with, you can have a chat with them and yeah, try and keep some things back for the winter and so, yeah, like you say, plan and forecast and make sure we're all busy all the time as well.
I have to ask a question. You spend your whole life outdoors, close to nature, landscaping, designing, managing your team, enjoying the sunshine on days like today. When you get to a weekend or even a bank holiday weekend, do you like gardening yourself at home? Or is it the last thing you want to do?
I always say to people, if you come round my house and see my garden, you wouldn't have me round your garden to do any work. Because I will sometimes be a little bit cheeky, and if we have a quiet day in the week for one or two of the guys, I'll ask them to nip round my house and help me do my garden. But I do the grass, and we have a little bit of woodland at home, and I try and sort of look after that and stuff. But yeah, I try and keep the flower beds to a minimum home. But my wife's always finding me projects to do outside. So yeah, she keeps me. It's a bit of a busman's holiday, but
that's all right.
Yeah, I never use my own photographs of my house as for my portfolio. It's always work we've done for other people. But yeah, it keeps me busy. Yeah, but
tell us about your 10 years. How did you get into this? How did it start? It clearly didn't start from you gardening at home thinking, I want to do this for a living, because maybe it did.
It did, weirdly. I lived with my grandparents for a long period of time when I was younger, and both of them were very keen gardeners.
Right.
I remember being a little kid, they had a veg patch in the back garden, and I used to follow my nana around and help her with the strawberries and the potatoes and things like that. And I went to school, left school, worked in sales roles.
Okay.
Actually was a mortgage advisor and wasn't happy. I was miserable.
Not as fun as being in the garden.
No, it's a little bit more exciting, to be honest with you. Yeah, you don't have to wear a suit. Shorts and T-shirt is a lot better than a suit. But I wasn't particularly happy with the way my life was going and my career and things like that, and I wanted to change. And one day, I'll be honest with you, I owe it all to my wife. She said to me one day, you know, for the love of, you know what?
Cut the grass.
What do you want to do? And I said to her, I want to work outside. I want to be a gardener. I want to be a landscaper.
Yeah.
And she actually found me a job working for a chap. I worked on the gardening side for him first, learnt that sort of role, and then asked him if I could move on to the landscaping side of the business for him, and did that. And then, I started just with a car and a cheap lawnmower and a cheap strimmer, and I used to work for the guy Monday to Friday, and then did my own work on a Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
And then got a little bit busier, bought a tiny little van, and did Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then got to the point where I was working 4 days a week for myself and 3 days a week for him. And then I sort of twigged one day, and I was like, I've been working 7 days a week for about 18 months, and I've got 4 days a week on my own now. I can probably do this on my own.
Was it the best thing you ever did, work for yourself?
100%. Yeah, it has its trials and tribulations, as its issues every now and again. And it does make you laugh, because people think when you work for yourself, oh, you can choose your own hours, you're your own boss, you could
get a hammock, lie in the sun.
It's really easy, you know. you can everybody else do the work. I've never worked harder in my life.
But it's yours.
But that's the thing. And that's, you know, a couple of years ago, the business... We did well through COVID, but then just after that, it took a little bit of a dip. And I was having a conversation, and she said, you know, would you consider going back to work for somebody else? And I said, no. I said, once you've worked for yourself, going to work for another person is a big thing. And you know...
Make yourself unemployable, probably.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, and without sounding greedy, when you work for yourself... With terms of how much money you can earn, the sky's the limit. It's entirely up to you how big you want to be, how small you want to be, how much work you want to take on. So there's no ceiling in your earning potential if you're prepared to put the work in and do what needs to be done to get there. I wouldn't change it for the world, to be honest with you.
And the stresses that come with it, and now you've got a big team and you're managing a business. Tell us a little bit about life. I mean, obviously, COVID was obviously a challenge because home isolation, or was it in the landscaping? Were you still able to do work? Just wear masks? How did that work?
Yeah, so obviously, right at the start, it was really strange. Obviously, nobody knew how it was transmitted and things like that, and it was the surfaces and etc. So it was a case of calling our clients and sort of saying to people, you know, are you still comfortable with us coming? Are we okay to you know, still come round? We had a couple of elderly clients who, you know, things like touching the gates to get into the back gardens. They said, you know, we don't want you to touch the gate. And so we did.
You forget, don't you? Even going things like dog walks, opening gates and immediately washing your hands. Yeah. It seems like it's almost like it was a bad dream now.
Sometimes you see pictures of, you know, standing 6 feet apart, like queuing to get into a supermarket in a car park. It's crazy. But the biggest, I'll be honest with you, I think that probably this sort of work was, like the exterior work, you know, the gardening, the landscaping side of the work, it's probably, we did quite well, to be honest with you, because again, everybody was staying at home. The people who were maybe travelling up to London weren't doing that anymore, so they were saving money with the travel. So people were spending more time in their gardens and trying to look at how they can maximise the space that they had. It was a difficult time, but we did quite well, to be honest with you. The biggest issue, to be honest, initially was getting people to site, because you could only have one person in a vehicle because you had to be so close. But you know, we had to just get guys in their own vehicles, sort of, you know, that was it. And if we were working in a garden initially, we were wearing a mask just to give ourselves that look, because you know, the last thing you wanted to do was be the reason somebody called.
There's also a thing, I guess, if you're going to everyone's gardens, because of the amount of interactions you're having, the risks are high that you could catch something.
And that was the thing. And you know, I had to make sure all my staff were safe and everything as well. But yeah, it was okay. We got through it all, and it was a busy period. But we tried to be as sensible as possible,
and here you are today.
And here I am today. Yeah, I got through it.
Well, after COVID, we went straight from COVID, dreaming of the the roaring 20s, as I think everyone was going to be describing it, straight into an economic meltdown with global events. And we've had geopolitical things more recently in the States and China and stuff. I mean, for most small businesses, it's been tough.
Yeah.
Uncertainty, you know, what's going on with interest rates, what's going on with taxes, what's going on with the minimum wage. As a small business, how have you felt through some of those things? What are the things you want from a government or whoever now to give you sense of confidence planning forward? And what are the things that cause you worries as a business owner?
I think, you know, unfortunately, when you do run a business, the bottom line to a certain degree is something you've got to look at constantly. Obviously, the national insurance changes that have just come into effect have affected me a little bit, but, you know, although I'm a medium-sized business, I don't think I'm big enough that it's impacted me enough that I have to be concerned about laying people off or anything like that. So, you know, hopefully that's okay. But I think, you know, what I don't want to see, I'd like to keep as much autonomy as possible within my business and not be hamstrung by any, you know, taxes at the end of the day. You have to pay your taxes, so, you know, unfortunately, you've got to do that. But I think, personally, from my government, I think I'd just like to not be too hamstrung by anything. I think I've not seen too much of an issue at the moment with the tariffs from the States, you know, the materials and stuff. A lot of the materials that we tend to use, I try to make sure they're sourced from the UK, like, you know, local timber and things like that.
Which itself is quite sustainable because you're supporting the local economy.
Yeah, that's it. I try and you know, I use all local merchants, and, you know, the relationship that I've got with them is fantastic. I think my biggest issue would be just to make sure that the day-to-day running of the business doesn't change. The fuel, you know, has been frozen. I think, again, the duty on fuel has been frozen, so that's not too bad. But, you know, it does, again, without harping back to COVID, it feels like we had a hike in the fuel prices in COVID, and they haven't been brought back down to the pre-COVID levels. So that would be quite nice, because, you know, we run a few vehicles, and some of our machinery is petrol. I'm trying to move over to battery with some of the machinery where possible, but that's not always easy to do immediately. But, you know, we do use, you know, diesel and petrol in the vehicles and the machinery that we use. So, like, you know, that's something that I'd quite like to see. And I am quite a strong proponent of, you know, a low tax on businesses to help them grow, you know, grow and hire and everything. So that would be something that I'd quite like to like to see. And that's not just from a greedy perspective, you know, from I don't want to pay any taxes so I can earn more money. It's more of a help me expand the business so I can employ more people and give more people an opportunity to get into work.
That's it. Now, sustainability is something Navoon is keenly interested in.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I thought it'd be good for us to have a chat is because, you know, you work in nature. You've got a green top on, you know. Your logo is a plant. You know, you work in nature. You do, you know, you're guardians of nature in many ways. But there's been a big focus in recent years for everyone to go towards net zero and everyone to have that kind of footprint. I guess it's a twin question for you, really, Derek, is firstly, are there aspects of sustainability you look at in your business in terms of things like fuel or equipment or whatever? But also, I guess there's a thing is you help people be more sustainable in how you look after their environments.
Yeah, definitely. So I am sort of in the process of, you know, trying to move some of the vehicles over to electric.
Okay.
Which, you know, hopefully is again, you know, a sustainable, beneficial thing to do. And, you know, Still, who are a manufacturer of tools, and there's other, you know, manufacturers out there as well, do electric machinery. Mm. So it's using electric machinery where possible as well, trying to, you know, do a carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And yeah, so when we are working in gardens, I always like to, if a, you know, we have sort of maybe a a compost area. So, you know, not everything that we're taking from gardens we compost down and we can reuse in future. So we try and do that. We try and have a couple of no-dig solutions in people's gardens as well. So, you know, putting the cardboard down, try and do a couple of no-dig gardens. And it is a case as well, especially we cut hedges also. And it's also just been, you know, it's been mindful of the seasons of when you can. It's bird nesting season now. I'm a massive lover of animals and wildlife, so everything, anything and everything that we can do, if we can leave a little pile of logs in people's gardens to, you know, a little home for like the hedgehogs or you know, bugs and things like that, we try and do that. But yeah, it's bird nesting season, so we try not to do any hedges unless anything, you know, like a tree comes down or something like that, you know, it's unavoidable. But we don't really cut hedges anywhere between sort of the beginning of April to sort of September time, because of the bird nesting season. So yeah, I try and be as green as we possibly can. We try and refrain from using weed killer where possible. If we can weed things by hand or use a natural remedy as a weed killer, we'll do that as well. So yeah, there's lots of things that we do, lots of things that we probably do on a daily basis that I don't even think about, you know, sometimes but also, you know, we do have to be mindful of, you know, if you get golden crested newts, you've got to look out for wildlife. And, you know, I try and have to sort of educate the guys that work for me and make sure they know what to do if they find, you know, crested newts. We have to leave them where they are, leave them alone. And, yeah, so it's getting to know. But that as well is a brilliant thing with the job that we do. You get to know the environment around you, and working in different gardens, you get to know and like see lots of different animals.
And caring about it. And I guess the work you do as well, and the way you look after people's gardens and estates, is if you look after them and you talk to your customers about them and you inspire them with how they look, you're actually being a change agent for other people as well, possibly.
Yeah, that's a nice thought. Yeah, because, you know, you do the big they started again in COVID was artificial grass. You know, it's become very, very popular.
Right. Like plastic or something,
yeah,
is it?
And I don't really do that, to be honest with you. We did start doing it, and then I thought of the environmental impact of it, and it's not great. It gets very, very hot in the summer. So people think when they have a dog, oh, it'll be great, we'll get artificial grass, and then we don't have to worry about the grass dying when the dog's doing its business on it. But I think what people don't realise is that anything above 30 degrees on artificial turf, and you can't walk on it. I do know people who've, you know, the dogs have burnt the paws on it and things like that. And, you know, it unfortunately did get to a point at one, like, previously the fashionable way to have your garden was white porcelain, artificial turf, and no flower beds. And
let's just say that's not very net zero.
It's not very kind to the environment. You know, the bees are probably one of the most important animals that we've got in this world, and people were very happy to dig up flower beds and take plants away that don't attract bees or butterflies and things like that. So we're trying to come away from that, and I always have consultations with our clients about what they want to see in their garden. And if somebody wants a blank canvas, I'll always try and introduce some element of planting and give them
support
the wildlife, and say to people, you know, you will get bored of just having a bland garden eventually. If you inject a little bit of colour, it makes such a difference, and you're supporting the wildlife. You know, you're helping nature out by not just having loads of plastic and stone in your back garden.
Very inspiring. It's a very inspiring story, and it's very nice on this beautiful day to have someone who knows about landscaping coming in, and you've taught me a few things, or not just about landscaping and the way you have to be net zero to run your business, but also how you support nature and sustainability and wildlife in what you do. Derek, it's been inspiring to hear your story. If anyone listening would like to discover more and get you in to take out their plastic grass and get a sustainable garden going, how do they find you online? Where are you?
We are on Instagram, It's at DC_gardens, and my website is just dcgardens.org.
Can't go wrong. Derek, all best wishes for a busy summer and also for a busy autumn and winter. I guess the raincoats come out then, do they?
Yeah, they do, but I'm northern, so, you know, I'm used to it. You know, 10 degrees and raining is my summer, and I always say...
Where are you from?
Darlington, so just outside Middlesbrough, so north.
So you're used to a raincoat.
Yeah, that's it. And your skin's waterproof, I always say as well, so you're all right, it's fine.
Derek, thanks for your time. Good luck for the business.
And you, take care.